Our gospel reading this morning is from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Listen for the gospel of God. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out, take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and didn't know where it came from, though the servants who drew the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for this story of this first miracle of Jesus and the ways that you still speak to us through it today. Help us to hear your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've had a hard couple of years. The pandemic and just everything else that has happened. Last week, I had a phone call conversation with my dad. Don't worry, I had set up someone else to talk to after that. It wasn't a great conversation. I was still kind of mad the next day, though. And in the middle of everything happening the next day, You remember last week there was a big snowstorm? Well, the kids' daycare closed, and Kristen's out of town. She's in California with her sister, where it's just lovely. And so I'm trying to work from home and parent, and there was this moment while I was working on my sermon and just going, what am I even going to say? Ryan told me he wanted an apple cut up. And so I cut it up. Unfortunately, what I had done was I had also cut up carrots earlier, and I put them on the same plate. He was screaming that he wanted his apple pieces in a bowl. Not the plate, that was contaminated. He wanted them in a bowl. And in the middle of all of that, I'm just trying to figure out what Dickens am I going to say about this wedding story? And I just started writing. I was like, I'm out of wine. I'm out of joy. I have no wine left. I don't even have water. And that's when I realized that was the sermon. It's the necessity of joy. These kids being exhausted and how I needed to find joy just to get through. And I said a prayer and asked for joy. Like, the audacity of Jesus, everything that's going wrong. If you look at a chart, and I did, of all of Jesus' miracles, 37, 41, somewhere in there, there's all these different miracles. Most of them are healings or exorcisms. There's one that's just, there's the feeding of the 5,000. He helps the disciples catch some fish. Walks on water. There's one that's just sort of really an outlier that's he curses a fig tree and the fig tree dies. I don't know about that one. I don't know what to do with that. But most of the miracles are sustenance or healing or deliverance. This one's kind of off by itself. Turning water into wine. Who needs water turned into wine? Not as I can guess, most people. Like, you're going to turn water into wine. Like, what? No one is saved, right, by turning water into wine? At least that's how it seems. Like, Jesus raises people from the dead. That seems necessary and important, right? Casting out demons, necessary and important. Saving the disciples who are out on a lake in a storm, that seems necessary and important. But water to wine to keep a party going. Worst case scenario, people are laughing at the groom for a while because he didn't have enough wine. And so much is wrong in the world. Back then, now, so many storms need calm, people need healed. And the first thing Jesus does in the Gospel of John, the very first thing, he goes to a wedding. With everything wrong in the world. Wasn't planning to tell this story. Every time that my siblings and I would spend money when I was growing up on anything, like they would go to Domino's Pizza down the street and spend $5 on a pizza, my dad would say, "Do you know how many Bibles that could send to people in countries where they don't have Bibles?" Oh, I got very good at that math. But this isn't necessary at all. With everything wrong, the first miracle Jesus does is he turns water into wine to keep the joy going. His mom knows how important that is. His mother knows the necessity of joy. He says, "It's not my time," but Mary says, "Keep the joy going." Actually, she tells the servers to do whatever Jesus says. And in my imagination, right after she says, "Do whatever he tells you," she just walks away. Like, that sounds like how it would go, right? Do whatever he tells you. Bye. And that means that the beginning of Jesus' ministry isn't healing and exorcism, calming of the sea, drawing fish out of water, but joy. We might think that it's not necessary, but it is. We prioritize all kinds of other stuff, but we miss joy. We think it's superfluous, but it is not superfluous. Joy is necessary. Thinking about the sermon and the necessity of joy and Ryan and his apples, I remembered a conversation I'd had with my father-in-law. A number of years ago, he was playing with Ryan and Micah's cousins and just casually mentioned, and it just really stuck with me. I may have told this story before, but it's worth saying again. He said that when my wife and her sisters were little, he didn't really get to enjoy them as much as he wanted to. So he was just working really hard to enjoy his grandkids now that he had that chance. And I thought, I don't want to do that. I want to enjoy my kids now. I want to enjoy my kids while they're little. Even though they're exhausting sometimes. That quote at the beginning of the service was from the African-American Studies Mei-Ling Malone at Cal State Fullerton. What she said was, "Black joy is an act of resistance. The whole idea of oppression is to keep people down. So when people continue to shine and live fully, it's resistance in the context of our white supremacist world." And I think that applies in a lot of places. There's just all of this temptation to despair in our world. And who hasn't felt oppressed by everything going on in the world? Plus, you know, Jesus lived in a world where the Roman government could execute you if they couldn't felt like it, and they did to him. You'd think there would have been more important things to do, but he went to a wedding. And when the wine was running low and his mother knew the necessity of joy, she said, "Make more." You know, we're still in a pandemic, right? I saw something on the internet about the different seasons of the pandemic. Like, I forget, we're like season 13 or something. There's like, you know, I don't know if you saw, but a bunch of people watching the Netflix show The Tiger King. I didn't watch it. It was some kind of train wreck about people who own animals that you're not legally allowed to own in America. Everyone was just watching it and was just following along with bated breath at how awful it was. You remember Zoom happy hours? Did anybody do that? Maybe not. Sourdough. There was a time in the pandemic where everyone was making sourdough bread. I wasn't. We're now in the Wordle season of the pandemic. Some of you have seen Wordle. It's a delightful little game where you pick five-letter words. And these things were all things that brought us joy. Just maybe some of them didn't specifically bring me joy, but there's all of these different things that we've done to just keep our joy on. Wordle is giving me about three to five minutes of joy every morning, or whenever I remember it. These things, they're things that bring us joy, and they're not non-essentials. They're what we need to keep us going through to tomorrow. And I don't know where my clicker is. sometimes you laugh to keep from crying. What? Oh, I left it down there. That's okay. What I had on the screen was, we must be stubbornly insistent, oh, thank you, Michael, on joy. Keep going, next one. We must be stubbornly insistent upon joy, like Mary was. Jesus said, it's not my time. And Mary just says, no, do it. And then he did the only miracle in this category recorded in the Bible. No other miracle does Jesus serve others in this seemingly unnecessary way. In my time with Ryan and the carrots and the apples, I don't know that I found joy, but I sat with him and we snuggled and we watched Cars 2 until he stopped crying. And I found a way to laugh about it. Jesus' first miracle is water to wine, right? But did you notice, though, John's Gospel 2, only John's Gospel, says that when Jesus died, they shoved the spear into his side and blood and water came out together. Purification and joy. Those stone water jars were for purification. They were for cleaning up. Some commentators thought that it was for like a ritual bath. We also know water is necessary for survival, especially here in Benton Harbor. And even a moment in the life of Jesus that we would think of as somber, like the Last Supper, it's painted by Jesus in joy. With a glass of wine passed around and handed to all of his disciples, even Judas. So, I invite you to come to the table. Well, the elders and deacons anyway, and it'll come to you. If you need life, water came out of his side. If you need purification, cleansing, water came out. If you need joy, wine came out. Blood came out that he said, this is, he passed out the wine and said, this is my blood. If you need joy, wine came out. If you need both, they came out together. And I saw somewhere that wine is 85% water anyway. So, come to the table. Share the bread and cup. Come, you who have much faith and you who have little faith.